But let me get right now to the Washington, D.C. area and our broadcast partner there, Ken Timmerman. Ken's on the move today. We caught him. Boy, I'm so grateful that we could be able to do that. Ken, let me talk about President Rouhani of Iran. He's bragging now. He said that the entire Western establishment of the political apparatus of the world, they surrendered to Iran in the nuclear talks. Quite brazen in his statements, and I think it's pretty close to the truth, don't you?
Well, it is pretty close to the truth, and he made an extraordinary admission there. That is Iran's view of this nuclear agreement that was negotiated in Geneva in November. The White House responded to that in a typical fashion. They said, well, that's just his way of explaining it domestically inside Iran. Well, that's important, the way that you explain things domestically. It's important the way the United States explains this agreement domestically. Our government is telling us that this agreement essentially is peace in our time, and it's going to resolve the nuclear conflict, the nuclear showdown, as I've called it, with Iran. And the Iranian side thinks not at all. They think that this is their victory and that the West has surrendered. I think that's extremely important, and it shows not just that comment, but other statements by Iranian leaders shows very clearly their intention to continue their nuclear weapons research and development programs. They have no intention of slowing them down and certainly not stopping them.
Well, what about this report? I'm not sure what the veracity of it is, but the new Iranian agreement includes a secret side deal. Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, there has been quite a bit of talk of this 30-page non-paper, and a non-paper is non-binding, right? It's just it is a descriptive agreement that lays out the understandings of both sides of what the agreement means. And frankly, given that it's non-binding, it's not worth the paper that it's written on. My guess is that it spells out in a little bit more detail what the overall nuclear agreement is supposed to mean, but again, there are no enforcement mechanisms beyond the standard International Atomic Energy Agency inspections, the IAEA inspections. And the IAEA, by the way, has come out and said themselves, as you pointed out last week, that the inspection regime that they have with Iran is not sufficient, and they would not be able to detect nuclear cheating. So this agreement is not enforceable. There's too much that's still secret about it, and the Iranians believe that's a great victory for them. So that spells trouble for the rest of us.
It does indeed spell trouble for the rest of the world. I'm concerned, though, that the fact is Iranians can lie about what they're making statements in agreements and really not pulling together a truthful agreement in any way, shape, or form. But in addition to that, they have some crazies, it seems like, over there in Iran. One Iranian official making this statement. Now, this is ridiculous. He says the United States is run by Nazis who are space aliens. I can't hardly get that out of my mouth without laughing, but is that what they really think?
What it shows you, Jimmy, is how disconnected from reality the Iranian regime and the people who support it, and this is a small portion of the Iranian people, let's not forget that, but it shows you how disconnected from reality they really are. I've actually heard that before from Iranians. I mean, it's quite astonishing, but I've heard that kind of nonsense before, as I say, it shows how disconnected they are, and it shows that we are going to have a great deal of trouble with this nuclear agreement.
When you've heard it before, was it from someone that, had the authority to make a statement like that, or were they anybody in a prestigious position at all?
No, but it was from somebody who was a former officer in the Revolutionary Guard. So there are people who are in positions of responsibility who make crazy statements like this. And as I say, they are disconnected from reality, and that spells trouble for us.
Well, I think they're disconnected from reality. as it relates to the situation in the Middle East and the fact that they can destroy and wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's not reality either, according to Bible prophecy. But
Jimmy, let me just point out one other thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but under the tenets of Sharia law and of Islam, you had said earlier that you said, well, how can they sign an agreement that might just be a lie, or how could they lie in the agreement? Well, under the tenets of Sharia law and of Islam, lying to infidels, i.e. non-Muslims, is absolutely fine if it serves the ultimate goal of bringing about the Islamic caliphate. So that is something from their standard, from their ethics, is perfectly not just tolerable, but it's considered to be a value, a positive value.
Very important information. And by the way, Ken, interrupt me at any time. You're the expert, buddy, and that's the reason I have you on here. I want you to give this information to us. Let's switch down to Egypt. They've had a two-day referendum. It's completed a lopsided election victory, seemingly preparing the way for the leader of the Egyptian military, al-Sisi, to run for president. Talk to me about this referendum. What does it mean from the Egyptian people, and could he be the next president?
Well, I think start with the last one first. Yes, it looks like he is going to be the next president. He's made every indication that he's going to run. And we should understand that he's tremendously powerful. Now, how lopsided that vote was, and does it really represent all of the Egyptian people, that's another story. There were many, many different parties that abstained from voting, that called on their supporters not to vote at all. So if you take into account that there's probably 20 to 25% of the Islamist parties who did not take part, the result is a little bit less absolute than it appeared. But nevertheless, I think what you're seeing is a very strong support in Egypt for secular government. They do not want to see the Muslim Brotherhood in power, which is what the United States helped to bring about through our policies. And they're very happy with General al-Sisi, who is a practicing and devout Muslim, but who is devoted to secular government. That is a huge turnaround. It's a huge, I don't want to say it's a win for us, because we had zero to do with it. In fact, the United States government was actively opposing General al-Sisi. The Obama administration has cut off aid to General al-Sisi because they believe that he came to power through a coup, although they're not using that word. But I think this is a tremendously positive thing for us, for people who would like to see relative calm in the Middle East and peace between Israel and her neighbors. General al-Sisi is clearly devoted to that, and I think the majority of the Egyptian people are too.
Speaking of that foreign aid, I heard a report coming out of Washington that the Congress has given permission for President Obama to restore that foreign aid to Egypt, which would help, of course, in the case of al-Sisi running for president. You know anything about that?
Well, Congress can restore the authority, but the president has to actually unblock the funds. And seeing as he was the one who blocked them in the first place, we'll have to wait and see what he decides to do.
And what about the Muslim Brotherhood? Did they literally abstain from going to the polls to vote in this referendum? Are they standing outside? Are they still underground? I don't think they're going to go away, but are they still a force there?
They're still a force, but General al-Sisi broke the back of the Muslim Brotherhood. The top leaders are in jail. They're being prosecuted for insurrection and crimes against the state and terrorism, and all of those things will be proven in open court. And the Muslim Brotherhood have lawyers, and they will defend themselves. And that's the way it should be. But I think what you've seen is a popular groundswell against their authoritarian rule, against their attempt to impose Muslim Sharia law. Egyptians want to live in a normal state that is at peace with its neighbors.
It sounds like to me, Ken, that it's a replay of the Mubarak years. He was the head of the military, came to the presidency, and for 32 years controlled the country. Is this a replay of that?
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, first of all, General al-Sisi is a little bit older than Mubarak was when he took office. Second, I think there is a bit of fatigue with the pharaonic pretensions of Hosni Mubarak, who wanted to pass the mantle to his sons so they would succeed him. I don't think there's any taste for that, any desire for that in Egypt today. And I haven't seen that on the part of General al-Sisi either. I don't think that's what his goal is. I think He wants to run the country for a number of years, make sure things get back up on a solid footing. And my guess is he'll pass the mantle of power after one or two terms.
But would you agree with me? The Muslim Brotherhood has not gone away. They're too vested in the entire Middle East, and they're underground now. That's the way they were under Mubarak. They could surface very quickly.
Oh, well, that's certainly true. How quickly they could resurface depends on how deeply the Egyptian security forces go after them and dismantle their support structures. And I don't mean by going out and arresting people and torturing people and stuff like that. I mean by cutting off their ability to raise money and to organize through the mosques, because that's how they do it, and to provide social services as well. If they have declared the Muslim Brotherhood illegal, that should make it more difficult for them to recruit new people, new members. And I think that's a benefit to Egyptian society as a whole.
Ken Timmerman in Washington, D.C., looking at geopolitical activities with us. We're so appreciative of the time he can give us to give us this great insight. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's been my pleasure. God bless.